This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I am Christine Wong and I'm in the studio with
Fraye Frida Liu.
Fraye, indeed. I think we're all very pleased. It is the end of the week. Sadly, though, not such a happy topic for the end of the week. We're seeing governments and business entities globally pledge to achieve net zero carbon status by 2050, which is, of course, a good thing. However, the United Nations Environment Programme's report revealed that many of these plans are scant with vague promises and inconsistencies on the 2030 National Climate Commitment. And one of the biggest contributors to carbon emissions is the logistics industry, with air freights producing some of the largest carbon footprints. That's what we're talking about today. If you would like to get in touch with us about sustainability in the logistics industry, we are, of course, available on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and on Twitter at BFM Radio. Now, according to a study by the World Economic Forum, transport contributes to more than 20% of global carbon emissions. In fact, it is the largest contributor to carbon footprint in many developed countries. And despite policies that are in place to reduce these emissions, and also even if these policies were committed and also were on track to succeed, the transport sector's carbon emissions are still expected to grow by 20% in 2050, and much of the projected growth is coming from here in Asia.
Right. Note to self, stop shopping, Frida. I think most of us have come to a point of asking, carbon footprint is really that difficult to reduce? Well, it's harder than most of us might think. A Christian Brand, who is a transport, energy and environment professor from Oxford University, listed several reasons why it's so difficult to cut carbon footprint from the logistics industry and transportation as a whole. One of which is demand is closely tied to population and economic growth. So as economy and population numbers rise, demand for goods will go up, and so does the number of people who want to travel. So it's estimated that transport activity will likely double by 2050 when compared with 2015 under the current trajectory, with global efforts factored in. All technological advances in decarbonizing will most likely be more than offset by the increased demand for mobility. This is why many experts believe the decarbonization targets of the Paris Agreement by 2015 will not be met without reducing the demand for transportation to a more sustainable level.
Yes, but this concept of reducing transportation demand is not easy to begin with. It requires a total transformation of a given nation's transport system, which includes how often and how far we travel, as well as how we move goods. London has at least been a leading example in introducing a scheme called Low Traffic Neighbourhood, where the city encourages road users to travel actively by introducing new cycle tracks, motor traffic calming and reduction, and pedestrian routes as well. They're also stopping vehicles from using certain roads. And the reason why the scheme was initially put in place was for the government to encourage people out of their cars and off public transport during the peak of the coronavirus pandemic. While the scheme is focused on encouraging active travel, like walking and cycling, there are inevitably some contradicting opinions on this scheme. A report shows that while there was a decrease in car ownership and use, cycle use rose by between 31 and 172%. So it's not really sure, like, exactly how well the scheme worked.
Right. Again, another factor is transport being 95% dependent on fossil fuels. So this high dependency on fossil fuels across all passenger and freight transport is a challenge. Alternative low-carbon fuels such as electricity are still considered to be an early stage. But even at an optimistic scenario where global new car sales were 60% electric by the end of the decade, we'll see CO2 emission from cars drop by only 14%. By 2030 compared with 2018. Christian Brand also notes that electric cars do not solve problems of road traffic congestion, safety and other issues of car dependency. Electric cars also need a reliable electricity supply, which is not a given in many parts of the world. And it also does not address transport inequality and social injustice within and between countries, especially in the developing world, where e-cars may well only be an option for the powerful and wealthy.
Another issue is that it is nearly impossible to travel or to ship items long distance without flying. Middle to long distance flights are very hard to decarbonize, as there is no alternative for them at the moment. Zero carbon aviation fuels and electric airliners are neither proven nor can be scaled up to the level needed for emissions from flying to fall fast. But interestingly, according to a 2018 article on Science Direct, 50% of flight emissions were caused by only 1% of the world's population, which means the majority of the world population hasn't ever flown before.
Wow.
So only a very small portion of the population is actually contributing to this, and in great measure. But the idea is that we should be able to reduce the total number of flights by, for example, introducing something like frequent flyer levies.
Oh, right. Yeah. So another thing, cargo ships are powered by diesel and can run for decades. The maritime shipping sector was not part of the Paris Agreement. They're estimated to contribute up to 10% of global emissions by 2050 if nothing is done. So these cargo ships run on diesel as there's no viable fuel alternatives at the moment. They also operate in an international market, hence governing and regulation them can be regulating them can be challenging. There is some potential here to reduce emissions as experimental zero carbon fuels such as green ammonia are currently being tested. Slow steaming, i.e. running ships at significantly less than their maximum speed, has been shown to save fuel and carbon emissions.
Mm-hmm. So going green, or I guess in sort of corporate terms, complying to environmental, social and governance issues, has been this sort of catch-all term for businesses trying to promote their commitment to preserving the environment, even though, of course, ESG covers a lot more than that. Companies have been trying to fit their policies and plans to be aligned with ESG ideas, with the logistics sector being especially trying to do this. According to PwC Malaysia, Malaysian CEOs are making encouraging progress, with nearly 50% working to reinforce the net zero commitments, even though only 18% have made such a commitment, compared with 26% of Asia Pacific CEOs. And while the industry is increasingly tech driven, there is still room for improvement, especially when there is so much more to be done. Joel Kwong, partner at Boston Consulting Group, says that achieving net zero has to be balanced with other goals in Malaysia, such as economic development and energy security. And at least Malaysia has some natural advantages in that area because we have some depleted oil fields and saline aquifers, which are ideal storage locations for carbon dioxide. And these are possible areas that could be incorporated into Malaysia's path to net zero.
Mm. Another important thing that Joel Kwong said is the risk of greenwashing as companies are attempting to use net zero as a tool rather than their operating standards. So because of this, standards, safeguards and verification bodies are very important to achieve real decarbonization. And it is critical for these standards to continue to mature and develop. So anyway, we're only scratched the surface of how sustainability is difficult to achieve in logistics. We will be speaking to an expert who can shed more light on this matter and what we can do to alleviate the environment's burden. Soham Shoksi, a CEO and co-founder of Shipsea, will be joining us after these messages.
Yes, for now we have Pride by U2 here on BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
You are tuned into Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong and I'm joined in the studio by
Frida Liu.
And today we are talking about sustainability in the logistics sector and how freight carbon emissions may frighten you. In line with that, of course, we do have an expert on the line. But if you would like to take part in the conversation and just join us, really share your opinions, your thoughts, we are on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and on Twitter at BFM Radio. We do have a guest, of course, on the line with us to shed some light on this topic, Soham Chokshi, CEO and co-founder of Shipsea. So thank you very much for joining us today. To start us off, the Malaysian government has plans to launch a net zero carbon framework this year. Could you just give us a quick rundown of what net zero carbon actually means?
Absolutely. Firstly, this is a great initiative launched by the government. And I think this will go a long way in ensuring sustainability efforts. Overall, what net zero means is essentially cutting greenhouse gas emissions to as close to zero as possible, essentially meaning, with any remaining emissions reabsorbed from the atmosphere by oceans and forests, for instance, and essentially really absorbing more than we are producing. So that's what net zero means, right? Largely speaking, supply chains and transportation are very large contributors to greenhouse emissions. Right. And essentially moving towards more sustainable modes of transport, using more technology and optimization when it comes to logistics, choosing more sustainable modes of transportation and means of transportation is going to be some of the factors that are going to come in terms of reducing the total greenhouse emissions and carbon footprint and really moving towards net zero carbon footprint.
Hmm. Soham, could you give us an idea of the amount of carbon emissions generated by the logistics industry as a whole?
Absolutely. So between 1990 and 2006, emissions in the transportation sector increased by more than 25%, representing almost half of the total national growth in greenhouse gas emissions during this period. Out of this, approximately 85% of the transportation sector emissions are related to surface transportation. An effective strategy to reduce greenhouse gas emissions must include improved fuel economy, reduced carbon content in fuels, and reductions in the growth of vehicle miles of travel. By reducing the growth in the total miles of travel, public transportation can reduce harmful CO2 emissions by about 37 million metric tons annually.
Well, it's well known that air freights are known to produce the largest carbon footprint. Are there alternatives here?
Absolutely. So essentially, when we look at supply chain planning, right, there are different modes in which goods can be transported. One is surface, the other is air, and then is ocean, right? It's well known that air freight is one of the largest contributors of greenhouse emissions. Essentially, one way to mitigate this is to see how we can route a large part of the loads through ocean, which is increasingly becoming one of the most sustainable modes of mass transportation. Essentially, what this would involve is much better planning so that we can plan in advance and have the lead time of 20 to 25 days that it takes to move goods by ocean. So essentially, better supply chain planning, better technology when it comes to planning can help us move to modes like ocean, which are more sustainable in nature.
You know, electric vehicles are becoming more mainstream. Do you see the logistics industry adopting them as part of a larger move to cut carbon emissions?
For sure. And last mile is actually one of the major use cases for electric vehicles, right? Because this is a large source of within city transportation. So essentially, when we talk about electric vehicles, right, the main point to look at is, of course, when it comes to battery range, it's all about, short distance transportation, which is essentially last mile deliveries, right? So we see, we are already seeing a lot of logistics companies and retailers moving their last mile deliveries to electric fleets, right? And now what this is doing is essentially making whatever miles traveled more green and also using technology to do route optimization and route planning to reduce the overall miles traveled.
Actually, talk to us about route optimization. How can this help with bringing down generated carbon emissions?
Absolutely. And just continuing from the last point, right? Essentially, when we look at reducing carbon emissions, there are two ways to do this, very simplistically speaking. One is we reduce the total miles traveled by a package. The second is whatever miles are traveled by the package, we do it through greener modes of transportation. So we discuss how electric vehicles can be, a greener mode of transportation. But talking about how to reduce the total miles traveled, this is where technologies like route optimization and route planning come in. Essentially, when we look at deliveries from warehouses to the end customer, let's say we have 1,000 packages to be distributed and we have 20 different vehicles, right? Essentially, route optimization software creates the most optimal routes such that the total distance traveled across all of these packages and all of the routes is minimized. In addition to this, it also ensures that the sequence is done in a manner such that we can commit time slots to the customers. Right. So essentially, a customer can be committed that, OK, their delivery will come from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Now, what this would lead to is also the fact that the probability of making the delivery increases and hence the need for reattempts reduces. This further reduces the total miles traveled, because if the package had to be reattempted, if the delivery got missed, that would add to the miles traveled. So net-net, the software helps reduce the total distance traveled through optimization and ensures time slots can be committed to customers such that the probability of a successful delivery increases.
Warehouses are also known to produce a substantial carbon footprint. So in what ways do they generate carbon footprint and how can they be reduced?
Sure. So carbon emissions caused by material handling activities and logistics buildings comprising warehouses and sortation facilities are significant and account for 13% of overall supply chain emissions. Warehouses may generally be operated by the help of different technologies, taking into account building characteristics, as well as the storage and handling equipment employed that determine storage and space utilization. Investing in such kind of technologies and newer and more energy efficient material handling equipment and employing sophisticated planning approaches, such as energy efficient storage location assignments, can be recommended to reduce the total carbon emissions.
I see. So in today's market environment, efficiency is one of the differentiating factors between companies. How can efficiency play a part in helping drive sustainability and lower costs in the whole process?
Well, absolutely. And one thing that we are seeing at Shipsea as well is customers are increasingly driving sustainability as a means to reduce cost as well, right? And this is one of the best objectives, right? If we can also have, you know, sustainability drive cost reductions, there's nothing like it because that guarantees much faster adoption. Now, the one thing that is pushing all of this is the need of the end customer, right? So if you see end customers like you and I, we are always demanding, you know, not just faster deliveries, but we're also demanding the costs to be constantly reduced, right? Which means that the retailers that are able to deliver the goods at the lowest costs, they're going to win, right? And essentially, it's these kind of technologies such as route optimization, route planning, using greener modes of transportation in the last mile, for example, right? Like electric vehicles. This is what leads to cost reduction. It's known that, you know, last mile contributes to over 35% of the total cost of moving a shipment. And using these technologies can significantly reduce the cost, a lot of which can be passed on to the end customer and hence increase the competitiveness of retailers and logistics companies in the market.
So how does this affect the way Shipsea operates and maintains the sustainable logistics operations?
Sustainability has been generating a lot of attention in the logistics domain, and this is absolutely critical considering its economic, environmental, and social aspects. Overall, at Shipsea, we are the technology layer that's powering a lot of the logistics operations, and a lot of the technology that we discuss, like route optimization, efficient vehicle selection, like greener modes of vehicle selection, improving customer communication to reduce failed attempts and to reduce returns. All of this technology is provided by Shipsea to retailers and logistics companies. And this is the part that we play in driving home more sustainable logistics operations and reducing the total carbon footprint.
Mm-hmm. So as we mentioned before the break, greenwashing has been an issue with many companies touting sustainable and greener initiatives without actual action to back that up. How do you hold yourself accountable as a company to ensure you're not part of the problem?
That's a great question. You know, we help cross-border logistics stakeholders gain visibility of a shipment's carbon emission even before it commences its shipping journey by gaining critical knowledge of tank-to-wheel CO2 emissions. Our sustainability dashboards help monitor emissions across a shipment's life cycle and unearth areas that need immediate attention. We also make logistics operations sustainable, reducing miles traveled, shrinking returns, eliminating empty miles and vehicle idling, and enabling greater driver productivity. For instance, in the last mile, our platform helps increase deliveries per driver by 14%. We curb distance traveled by about 5 to 6% and decrease trip volumes by about 6%. All these factors help businesses expedite their sustainability goals.
So, Ham, could you give us a sense of the responsibilities logistics companies have in helping build a carbon conscious society and work towards reducing them?
Absolutely. You know, as you know, e-commerce increases, as end consumers like you and I, we keep ordering more and more goods to our homes, the total distance traveled, total miles traveled per shipment or per package is always increasing. And this is putting a lot of stress on the overall logistics operations and really increasing the carbon footprint. Having said that, logistics companies play a very special role in this entire landscape, because by implementing better technologies, such as the one that the Shipsea platform provides, is really helping reduce the total carbon footprint and ensure that we can go towards more sustainable logistics operations.
All right, brilliant. Well, thank you very much. That was Soham Chokshi, CEO and co-founder of Shipsea, telling us a little bit about sustainability in the logistics sector. But that brings us to the end of the show. So thanks for being here, I suppose, and
listening in.
Do not go anywhere, because after the 1 p.m. news bulletin on the Breakfast Grill replay, of course, Singapore-based company Care is pioneering cooling as a service to the ASEAN markets and recently announced a 15-year contract with the exchange TRX for 150 million ringgit. The Breakfast Grill spoke to CEO Justin Taylor on the business proposition of cooling as a service and how it plans on to leverage on the global push towards decarbonization. So another environmentally related chat coming up shortly. But thank you very much for tuning in. And if you missed any of today's chat, it's on the Apple App Store and Google Play and all that jazz. That's where the app is. Clearly, this is why this is Friday. And also, of course, we're on the website bfm.my, where you can listen to the podcasts and everything. We shall leave you with New Generation by Suede here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.